It is a joy to be back tonight. If you will take your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter number 7, please. 2 Kings chapter number 7. We'll give me just a little bit of volume on this mic. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 7. When you find your place, if you're able and willing, please stand for the reading of God's Word. I know you found your place and reverence the Word of God. I thank God I got a Bible. Say amen. Amen. You pray for us tonight, God will give us unction power, and we'll say what needs to be said in this allotted time. God so saw fit to let us be here. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace if we tarry till the morning light. Some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." If you will, pray with us tonight. Father, I pray tonight, dear God, Lord, somehow, dear Lord, Spirit of God, touch my mouth, touch my mind. Help these people tonight, Lord, that understand of our voice tonight. As we hear the Word of God, God, help us tonight that we respond right and obey the Word of God and do what you'd have us to do, Lord. Help us tonight, God, to get the burden that you have. I pray for that one nearest tail tonight, Lord, that this would be the day that say yes to you. I know that the Lord's word is today, the devil's word is tomorrow, and I pray today would be the day of salvation, God. Help the churches that have assembled together here tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray you speak each and every one, Lord. Help us, dear God, in these perilous times that we're living in. Lord, we sure do need you to come. And, dear Lord, have preeminence of the service. I thank you for the good songs you're singing. But, God, I beg you, Lord, speak to me tonight. Lord, I don't want to stand here alone. I want to be empty of myself, God. I beg you, help me not to say anything that will be contrary to what you'd have us say. I'd rather pray and go to the house, Lord, than to preach out of your will. I plead tonight, Lord, you'd help me. Lord, deliver the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I pray tonight. I'm asking God to help us to get the burden that I believe the Lord would have us to have. You know, listen, folks say that the Lord, I was not burdened. The Bible said, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, said, I'll send them to you. How often would I have? Think about that now. How often would I have? How many times the Lord would have? I've done certain things, he said, and gather thy children together, even as a hen gathered the chickens under her wings, and you would not. You know, it's not the Lord's fault tonight. He will, amen. He wants to. If our desire would meet his desire, if our will would meet the will of God tonight, the Lord would do miraculous things. I think about Paul. Paul said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He said, "For if I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ." Listen, that my brethren, he said, may, thank God, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul said, if I could, he said, I'd be lost and go to hell, that my brethren be saved. I wonder if there's anybody in this building tonight that's really got a burden like that, that you'd wish yourself to be lost, that somebody else to be saved. I don't know about you tonight, but back under where I live, I've got brothers, they profess to know the Lord, but in their works they deny him. I've got sisters that made a profession, but there's never been any kind of change in the life. I'm concerned if they die before I get back home, how they'll die and go to hell. I've got nephews that don't have anything to do with the Bible and church. I've got cousins, uncles, and aunts. They're lost without God, and they're perishing tonight. And you know the problem tonight, most of them have lost our love, our compassion, and our care for sinners that are lost without God. Now, until we get the same burden, same love, the same compassion that Jesus has, I don't think a whole lot will take place. You know, I think about this. We really have become spiritual gluttons. We've shit, we've soaked, and to be honest, we're sour. Is that right or not? I just want to say tonight, we forget all about those that are in High Point, North Carolina, that are dying and rotting and going to hell tonight. Listen, I want God to help us tonight. One of the most difficult messages to preach and to get people to get a hold of, it's not the message of just coming to church and let's just sit down, have a good time, and go to the house, lock ourselves up in our houses. I got our little gadgets, our toys, and we sit back, kick back, spend our money, and spend most of our time on ourselves. When our neighbors across the street, they've never had you to talk to them about the Lord. Our folks moving down the road, they don't even know your name. They don't even know that you go to church. Is that right or not? I'm talking about we've lost our burden. Hey, listen, hey, there's a crowd at young night. They're not preaching the truth, but they're beating their doors down, and they're loving on them as much as they can, and they're winning them over to a lot of junk and doctrines of devils tonight. And we need to understand, there's every day we need to have love and have a burden and have compassion. It's in these days we're living in. Now I want to build just for a moment. James said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good doeth not to him a sin. Now I don't think tonight, I bless probably of the cream of the crop of every church that's represented on Wednesday night most of the time. That's the way it is. But I know this much. It's not so much for me coming to preach tonight on the sins that you are committing, but what about the things that we are omitting to do? That's a whole lot needs to be done, and it's very few people want to do anything. We need some laborers today. The fields are white in the harvest, but the laborers are few. One thing I know is a backwoods country boy and raised on the farm. How when the crop comes in, when it's ripe, you better pick it. If you don't pick it when it's ripe, it'll rot on the vine. And we've got folks all around us, they're ripe, they're waiting for you to come pick them, but they're rotting on the vine tonight. Now in the text, on a bill here, watch this, and chapter number 6, there's a famine going on in the land. Look at verse number 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, he's letting us know we better stop, look, and listen. They besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, there's a famine going on. The supplies are cut off from coming in. Nothing's coming in and nothing's going out. Now listen, Amos said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that he'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but he said, of hearing the words of the Lord. Now understand this. A famine's going on. What is the cause of the famines in the Word of God? It's always unconfessed sin that brought the judgment on and brought the famine on. And listen, the city is besieged here and they're in a desperate predicament now. Now the city is besieged and listen, there's no food coming in and they're at the point that, listen, they're buying an ass's head to have food. Listen to me. Have you ever met anybody in your life that had dove's dung, not the dove, but his waste, that had dove's dung for supper? I was in a state not long ago that they found some little children that were locked up in cages and don't know how long they've been locked up, but the way they survived, I'm talking about back in those 100-degree days, it was so hot, 90 to 100 degrees. And the way they survived, brother, they ate their own dung. I'm talking about in the United States of America, not too many days ago, those little children ate their own waste. Now listen, you say, buddy, that's pretty hard to swallow, ain't it? I'm telling you, listen, the Bible says there's a famine going on. They're eating dove's dung. They're eating the ass's head. And notice, if you will, in verse number 26, Notice it says, and the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall. There cried a woman unto him and said, help my O Lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, notice now, when the king heard with the words of this woman, that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Now, listen to me. Oh, dear God. Oh, that ought to shock us. That ought to shake us real good. Can you imagine a mother taking her baby and turning it over to somebody and taking that baby and putting it in a pot and boiling that baby and picking the meat off that baby's bones? Now the Bible, I believe, is the word of God. I believe every word in it. This Bible says this woman gave her son up, and they bore that boy, and they had him for supper, my friend. Now you say that can never happen here. I'll tell you one thing. That same crowd that's sucking them out of the womb by the thousands every day, you mark her down. They get so desperate, determined enough, they'll be boiling the babies and eating the babies. I'm telling you what, this ought to shake us. It ought to shock us. Here's another desperate situation in the Bible. God help me tonight. Now notice in verse number 30, stay with me. The Bible said the king comes by on the wall. Look at verse 31. Then he said, God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall I stand on him this day. Ain't it amazing who always gets the blame? Amen. It's a man that's never been wrong. Every time he spoke God's word. He'd never been proven wrong. And listen to me. Society's talking a whole lot about love and talking about care. And they license abortions in the clinics. I'm talking about same-sex marriage until it about makes you want to throw up. Is that right or not? And the Bible said we're living in peerless times. I mean, without natural affection. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot covered in that. You've got women that will march down the street and protest about a little mangy cat on the street. And that same lady will be found in line saying it's all right to take a baby and throw it in a trash can and put it in a heap somewhere. I'm talking about without natural affection. There's something wrong when a mother can take her baby and take a hammer and beat him in the head and throw him in a trash can and put him in a dump truck. We've got stuff like that going on all over our land without natural affection. When people love animals more than they love souls, is that right or not? We're in those days, and we see the king brings a condemnation here upon the man of God, Elisha. Now notice in chapter number 7. Stay with me just a little while. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. And Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. That's a good source to have, amen. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now here's the forecast I've given about the famine. The source is the word of God. It's nothing like the word of God. You can take it to the bank. What God says, he'll do, amen. And notice the scorn here in verse number 2. As an unbeliever in verse number 2. Notice this. Then a Lord, small ale, hey Lord, on whose hand how the king leaned, answered, the man of God. He is the man of God. Amen. That's what the Bible calls him, how the man of God. And said, behold, watch this now. If the Lord would make windows, thank God he already had them made. Amen. Ain't you glad they're already made? Every once in a while he'll open the window up and pour you out a blessing. Thank God. He said, if you had windows in heaven, how might this thing be? And notice this now. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. He said, I'm believing. I don't want to stop there. But oh, we could preach that a little while. How many people are going to see him? They're going to see what they could have had. But they're going to have to walk away from it. And they'll never taste it. They'll never be partakers of it. Now stay with me. I'm not going to stop there. Watch. And notice verse number 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering end of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Now notice now, the famine's going on. The forecast is tomorrow. And now there's 4 lepers. They know nothing about it. I want to use tonight as an illustration. I to say that the choir loft would be considered Samaria. I'd say out there in the congregation would be the enemies of God as they surrounded Samaria. And in between those two, there's 4 leprous people here. And we know that leprosy is a type of sin. They're there. They're starving to death. And they said, why sit we here till we die? Now, Samaria represents a perishing world that's dying, lost without God. They're perishing. They're dying. They're not going to purgatory. They're going to hell. They're not going to a holding place that they can be bought out of. They are perishing. And then there's the enemies of God, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And caught in the middle is a handful of little old leprous people that's got helped by God Almighty. Now, I want to use that and call that the church tonight. Are you listening to me? And notice this real quick now. The condition of these people, they're in a desperate condition. That is a picture of every sinner. Hey, that you're here tonight, you've been saved. You found yourself in a desperate situation. Hey, listen, you was perishing without God, and the enemy had you surrounded, but the Lord showed up. Now hang on with me just a moment. Look at verse number 3 again. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here till we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die. They know if they went toward that city, they're going to die. Notice, and if we sit still here, we die also. They're going to die either way. Let me tell you something tonight before I preach. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you're going to die either way, my friend. And so the best thing to do is join up with the Lord, amen, that you can die right, amen. And so they say, if we sit right here, we're going to die. If we go over there, we're going to die. If we go down there, we're possibly going to die. So either way, it's an appointment time that we're going to die. Notice what they say now. We die also, now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they shall kill us, we shall but die. Now notice this now. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Why? For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of the horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against the kings of Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Look now, when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the what? Of the camp, amen. Notice now, they went into the tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went hid it. Now listen to me. They have a consultation amongst themselves. They are reflecting. We've had it that way. We've had it right here and we've had it there. And so they consult among themselves. I don't know why anybody that's lost without God would have a consultation amongst themselves. And listen, when you look at their ignorance and their indifference tonight, and their loss without God, and live your life independent of God, and their loss when you don't have to. And so they resolved, amen, that we're going that way and find out how it turns out. Now hang on now. They did not cover the reality. I don't want to come this week and try to take away reality. But I tell you one thing I don't want to do. I do not want to miss the possibility. Oh, we know how bad it is. Everybody tells you everywhere you go how bad it is, how much going wrong, what's gone wrong. But thank God. Ain't you glad the Lord can show up? I'm talking about the real possibility of God doing something to help us. And so they came there, and suddenly they changed. Why? Because God has stepped on the scene and the situation. Now, I want to give you several things tonight out of this chapter. I believe tonight, oh, dear God, as I look at these old boys, it reminds me of myself. I remember when I was a poor, lost, backwards country boy. I mean, up on the floor with a feather pillow. I was in poverty. I was lost. But thank God one night the King of Kings came by and got me out of my poverty and saved me by the grace of God. And thank God tonight I'm an heir to everything He has. Verse number 3 again, please. Let's read it. Verse number 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate. They said one to another, why sit we here till we die? And so they get up and they make a move. And listen, when they came in the camp, everybody's gone. But there's goods all around them. And so they go into a tent and they find all the water and everything they want to drink. And they get filled up. They find bread till they get full of themselves. And they start talking about. Now listen, I think about all the misery they had faced. You're talking about leprosy, my friend. They're rotting. They're dying. They know they don't have long to live. And listen, we're nothing but a putrefied soul in the sight of God. The misery they had faced. But oh, I think about the mystery that I thank God they faced in verse number 8. Watch this now. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and it into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Oh, listen to me. I think about this, how that God had intervened, how that God had stepped in. It's no doubt, listen, a picture of what took place in my life and in your life when the Holy Ghost of God pricked us and drawed us to Himself and we went to Him and got saved by the grace of God. Now listen, I believe the whole message that I want to deal with tonight when it concerns about how the intervention of God in the human welfare and when it comes to intervene on what we need tonight. I'm glad God did come. Thank God I'm glad tonight He still comes and He will come. Amen. The Lord still shows up and does the mighty work. Don't you stay with me just a minute. When they went in that camp, well, what do we get to gain? We'll probably just die. And all of a sudden they started finding food, finding drink. They got filled up. Next thing they wanted was silver. And worried about the enemy coming back, they started taking it out of the camp. And they were hiding it. And they'd go back and get some more. And they took it out of the camp. And they were hiding it. And that went on for a while. Now, I'm telling you something, I don't know about you. Let me mention it again tonight. That night I rode in as a little old backwards country boy on a bus. I didn't know the Holy Ghost of God was going to come to where I was at, but He saved me by the grace of God. I didn't know nothing, my friend. But I'll tell you, when I went home that night, I was amazed at what I'd found out. Amen. I tell you, here's some lepers. They are amazed at what they found. I tell you one thing. Thank God I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad the Holy Ghost went to the house with me. I'm glad my name's written down into heaven. I didn't know anything about justification. I didn't know anything about sanctification. But thank God I got all that. The night I got saved, amen. They're amazed at what they found. But notice something. Hey, all of a sudden they're hiding their stuff. They're hiding out and they're camped out. And they are absorbed with what they have. I'm going to tell you, listen, I'm trying to help us tonight. Do you know, just a little bit before that, their little parched lips, they're decaying, they stink, their clothes is defiled, but now they've got on new clothes. Are you listening to me? Now they're drinking in abundance. They're eating in abundance. They've got money. They've got clothes. The good God of heaven has showed up, run the enemy out, and blessed them, amen, beyond measure. And they are absorbed with what they have tonight. I'm telling you something. God's been good to me. Listen, in his poverty, though he was rich, he became poor that you and I might be rich tonight. Now think about this. Now listen to me. Do you think probably that they wouldn't say, boy, this is a good place to be. Boy, it's the best camp I've ever been in on. I wonder how many of you in here got saved at this camp meeting. Anybody left here? Anybody got us one back there? I guarantee you she'll tell you, boy, this is a good place to be. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God. They're saying, boy, this is a good place to be. And they are absorbed with what they have. Now listen to me. They're amazed at what they found. And they're absorbed with what they have. Now here's the meat of the message now. Listen, God wants us to enjoy the blessings of God. He wants us to get absorbed. And it ought to be that way. But it cannot stay that way. Verse number 9 is our text. And this is what I want to deal with just for a few minutes tonight. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. Now listen to me. I want to preach on this thought just a few minutes. They are ashamed, my friend, at what they had done. Now listen to me. It's what troubled them. We have feasted and we have feasted. We've come to camp meeting and we feasted and we've taken it out and we hide it. As folks in here go to church every Sunday morning. You go home. You hide it. You come back next Sunday morning. You pick up another load. And you take it back. And you hide it. And you come back Wednesday night, Sunday night. And we keep gathering. And we keep hiding. Are you listening to me? We ought to be ashamed at what we're doing, my friend. Oh, we brag about being saved, and we ought to. We ought to shout about it. We ought to worship God. But it's a shame to be done found by God Almighty and the amazing grace of God and get so absorbed with it that you hide it for yourself. It's a shame, my friend. It's a sin. Listen, what do? We go home. We lock ourselves up, and we tell the rest of the world to go to hell, and we don't care. We're taking it home. Come to camp meeting last year. I wonder how many last year got a burden over somebody and prayed all year that they would be at this camp meeting. Huh? God help me tonight. We've got good at gathering, feasting, and taking it to our house when the rest of the world all around us is perishing. Are you hearing me tonight? Listen to me. You know, listen, I don't know how long they ate. I don't know how long they drunk. I don't know how much silver they carried out. I don't know how many days it went on. I don't know, but the whole time they were feasting and a-drinking and gathering up silver back down in that city. They're boiling babies. They're eating dog's dung. Listen, around us tonight, there's people out of their mind. They're smoking dope, drinking liquor. They're all around us. And listen, we go lock ourselves up and we leave them back there. And they're screaming out for help, my friend. While they're eating and drinking, they're dying back there. Babies are dying. It's been a long time since you've seen a lot of people just wear at the altar with tears anymore. I remember when I started preaching that you could get in a church and it was almost every service some mother, some grandmother, or some daddy would have not allowed you to preach until they stood up and wept over their children. It used to be prayer room was a place that people wept for the perishing. Now we talk about the garden, we talk about the weather, I'm just trying to help us tonight. I ain't trying to hurt nobody. And we go through that stuff. Then we get in, the preacher give us a little thimbleful, and if we so happen to make it back to the house, we hide it, we shut the Bible up and put it on the seat of many of you, leave it in the automobile. It's a shame to handle the Word of God like that. Thank God it ought to be close to you. You ought to feel naked without your Bible, amen. And listen, we take our Bibles and put them on the bookshelf and lay them on the TV or somewhere. And listen, and with the man of God's preach, you ought to go home and read it again and meditate on it, not to hide it in your house, but to take it outside of your house. There's a world going to hell. You've got brothers that are lost. You've got sisters that are lost. Thank God for camp meeting. But I tell you, we've camped out enough, amen. It's time to get off the stool of do nothing. That's a world perishing. It's a world perishing. We're hiding. We're hiding. We're such too bad. But let me tell you something. God ain't never had nothing to work with but sinners. That's where you come from, the bottom. Every last one of us come off the bottom, amen. If God can save you, He can save them, amen. Now think about this. They're going to hell. And listen, we do not well. Why? We hold our peace, my friend. And we're not doing too good. Who's the last person you invited to the house of God? And you listen, they were leaving thousands doomed back there. Look at how should we feel guilty what Jesus said. And when He has come, He will approve the will of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Possibly, I believe the most grievous sin we've got today is the silent majority in our churches. Oh, we're talking. We're talking. We're gossiping about everybody and everything but Him. We stop gossiping the gospel and we drop the ball. And we start gossiping about everybody else. It seems like today all people want to know is some smut, some dirt, some filth, some vulgarness, some perversity. Not that they could pray for them, but they could get on the other line and call somebody else and spread it around the country while they die and go to hell, my friend. I'm telling you, listen, we ought to be broken tonight. We ought to be weeping before God. We've not done too well. We ought to be ashamed at what we're doing. I know we try to feel good about what we're doing tonight, but we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. How slack we are, how much time we spend on self, and we deny the Scripture and the Holy Word of God. Amen. Listen, we don't obey the Spirit of God. And listen, hey, we live before a world that never sees our Savior. We're not doing too well. We do not well. Between a starving world, I made up my mind. My family might go to hell, but I'll tell you one thing they'll do. They'll not stand before God Almighty and look over and say this. They'll not look over and say, God will say, He never prayed for you. If they go to hell, they're going to have to step over my prayers. If they go to hell, it's going to be a bottle of tears sitting there that they're going to have to step over. Why, when, listen, my mama died. Boy, it's one of the hardest things you'll ever go through, and I mean that. I love my mama. And boy, I used to witness to my mama. She'd get so bent out of shape around church. You know, folks get under Holy Ghost conviction and they try to convince themselves all right. But listen, I prayed for my mama. I prayed for my mama. I'll never will forget one night. I lived on the other side of the county. I woke up. I couldn't go to sleep at night. My wife was laying in the bed and the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, you better go talk to your mom and daddy. And I'll be honest with you. I felt within my heart, if I hadn't have got up and went down there across town and woke him up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I believe one of them would have died that night. I believe that until I face the Lord and He tell me different. I believe one of them would have died and went to hell that night. I went down, beat on the door. It tore their nerves up. Somebody out in the country at your door about 3 in the morning. I went in as a weeping and a crying and got down on my face before them. I said, Mom, I love you. Daddy, I love you. That's something we never said to each other when we was coming up. Just went that way. I said, I love you. I don't want to see you die and go to hell. And pardon my my soul out. And it was like the devil crushed me. And they said, oh, ask my wife if I'd get sick. There was something wrong. Oh, I was broken, my friend. I've broken over my family going to hell. When's the last time, God, I woke you up out of your sleep over somebody you know? I ought to be ashamed. We don't have a burden no more. We're not broken. We can come go through a whole camp meeting and our eyes stay dry. Our hands stay in our pocket. We stay in our seats and we never move toward God. Is that right or not? I've got uncles that are already in hell. According to their life and their testimony, they're already in hell. I got a little boy I started picking up out of Virginia some years ago. Was mean as the devil. I mean, just rough as a cob. Been in prison several times for cutting guts out of men and just all he knew was doping and a fighting. And I heard him using the Lord's name in vain one day at a little gas station. And I started to him. This big old rough guy knows me. So preacher, don't bother. That guy's crazy. I said, well, I tell you what. He'll have to go through the Holy Spirit of God to bother me today. So I'm going over there and tell him God's last name is not damn. I'd appreciate him not to say it anymore. And that boy calmed on down. And he respected me. And I walked away. Some days later, I ran into him again. And I cried to him. I said, young man, I said, I wish you'd go to the house of God with me. I said, I'll come pick you up. I went and picked him up for several months. And he'd come about every Sunday morning. I'll never forget him as long as I live. And he'd stand back on that back row. And I'd give him invitation time. He'd raise his little old finger up. I need God. I need to be saved. I'd take him back home and weep and cry and talk to him all the way to the house and plead for his soul. And it went on for a while. And then there come a Sunday morning. I'll never forget it. That Sunday morning was different than any other morning that I'd ever dealt with. I preached that morning again. He raised his hand. He didn't move toward God. He got in the automobile, but for some reason that day, the Holy Ghost of God shut my mouth. I didn't have two or three words to say. And when he got out of the vehicle, I said, son, if you want to come back next week, call me. Little did I know 2 days from then he'd be dead and in hell tonight. I wonder if I'd have prayed more. I wonder if I'd have tried harder. I wonder if I'd have kept on talking. I wonder if I'd have stayed on this trail. That boy might not be in hell tonight. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm telling you, we've lost our burden. Lost our tears. He said, we do not well. We do not well. Look at verse number 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the end of the gate. They said one to another, why sit we here till we die? That night I got saved. Boy, I sat there. I said, boy, why? Boy, I'm not going to sit here till I die. I jumped up and I run to the Lord. I didn't know a whole lot, but I found out. When my will met the will of God, business picked up in my life. I moved in Him and He moved inside of me. But in verse number 9, they change it now. Why sit we here till we die? And they're amazed at what they found. They're absorbed with what they had. And listen, they are ashamed at what they've done. And now they change it to why sit we here till we die? But now they're saying, why sit we here till they die? Are we just going to sit here? We've got life. We've got abundant life. We've got everlasting life. I guarantee you, you eat better now than you've ever eaten in your life. I'd say you got better clothes now than you've ever had in your life. I'd say you got more money now than you've ever had in your life. God's been good to every one of us. We can stop and shout. He's gave us the clothes. He's gave us the food. He's given us the water. Amen. He's given eternal life. Amen. God's blessed us, and I'm amazed at what I found. Thank God when He found me, and I got so absorbed with it. But I'd be ashamed of myself if I just took it to the house and had it and didn't tell somebody else about it. Oh, Lord, help me. We ain't got time to go on visitation. I'm just telling you, brother, they're going to hell. Ride you forward. And I ain't saying this, all this stuff's wrong with us. But when you get so absorbed with your hunting, and that's all your mind's on during hunting season, that's all you eat, breathe, and sleep, it's your God. Nothing wrong playing golf, but if that's all that's on your mind,
before I let golf clubs or a deer rifle get me out of the will of God, I'd carry someone and bury it. Amen. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling the world's going to hell. And we go to church, get out a little bit, and take it to the house and hide it. And your loved ones, your neighbors, they're dying all around you. And they're going to hell. And say, well, I wonder if they're saved. Why didn't you go ask them, amen, and talk to them about the Lord? They're all around us. You can say, have visitation day for camp meeting. I wonder how many show up for that. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you, we've dropped the ball. The Jehovah's false witnesses are out there every day. They're out there every weekend. They're beating on their doors before they get up. And they're offering them all kind of literature while you're sleeping, while you're watching TV, while you're on the internet, Facebook, and everything else. Listen, we're not doing too well. We're not doing too well. We're hiding it. We're canning it in our little buildings. When's the last time you went down by a lake or river somewhere and you saw baptizing going on? We've even canned that in the church, and I'm not belittling that. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a... I'm just saying we've canned everything up. We got our little boxes and we box ourselves up as long as we can pay our light bill and keep our little clicking out and run to church. Amen. And run a man. We just as happy as we can be. And all around them steeples, they're going to hell and nobody cares. I'm saying we're not doing too good, my friend. We do not well, my friend. Why? We're hiding it. We're hiding it. And they need us to come and bring the gospel. I'm telling you, listen, we ought to be absorbed with what we got in the Lord. Amen. But we ought to be ashamed that we're hiding it from them. Why sit we here till we die? He said that, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We're not doing following, we're not fishing. We're not even good at keepers of the aquarium anymore. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you, what is it going to take to dynamite out of our seat? Is it going to have to be somebody real close to you? When that rich boy died and went to hell, he became a believer then. You know what? While you're here tonight at camp meeting, you may think it's a little too hard to swallow. If he could come back and get all of his riches, he'd pay me to preach all night. Huh? He don't want a beer truck. He don't even want a water wagon. So if I could have one drop, just put on my tongue. You know what, brother? He's still there. He's still there. And you know what? He'll just get out one brief moment. At the great white throne judgment, suck one last breath of fresh air in and be thrown in the lake of fire. Won't believe it no more. Folks have used profanity. You know, we've been so desensitized to evil that it don't even bother us reading the scripture about a woman boiling her baby and picking the meat off the bones. It don't bother us. Huh? We're so desensitized to things. It used to be a man of God could read scripture like it and go to Revelation and read it, but people would be terrified. They'd be shaken. But the devil got wise to that and started making all kinds of games and Hollywood movies to desensitize us. Most of your youngins already seen thousands of them die just this year alone. And so it don't bother us anymore. When it comes across the news, somebody died down the street. I mean, been watching killing every day. Huh? Was so desensitized. He said, this day is a day of good tidings. He said, he saved you and me, but back yonder in that city, they're starving to death. I believe this. And if we could peel back this concrete and open up us a little hole there, and we could hear the screams of the damned tonight, it wouldn't take but a second of it. When that man of God by the name of Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That's what he was. He preached right. Amen. You know why a lot of them won't preach right tonight? It's because of the crowd. There were some people of that day denounced him. They, old doctor, whoever he was, no doubt says scientifically impossible. It'll never rain, it never has. But old Noah for 120 years thundered out and said, I want to tell you something. The Lord said, not a preacher, but the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God's going to flood this place. He'll drown you like a bunch of rats. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For 120 years, no doubt they went to that man and looked at him as entertainment. Now think about this. Come here, son, real quick. Come here, real quick. Can you imagine Here comes Daddy going with a caravan, going down the desert. Some of them folks come through the desert. That's a crazy man. I tell Bill Nock, he says it's going to rain. I mean, but we've got to go see this. So no, Daddy takes a little boy, and you stand right there and look here. Daddy's standing there, and the man of God, I tells the boys, let's take a break. And he gets up on the gangplank, and he's a preaching, and says, I want to tell you something. I didn't say this, but the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. It's going to rain. I'm telling you, God's going to send his judgment. He sees all the wickedness. And no doubt Noah called it by name. And there's that little boy standing there, and he kind of grabs Daddy by his coattail, and he says, Daddy, that man is bothering me, what he's saying. And then that daddy looks at him and says, oh, son, don't you worry about that. Oh, it can't rain. We just come out here to have a little fun. That little boy goes on back home, but it's still troubling his mind. It's still bothering him. But years go on by. A year go by, he don't feel quite as bad. About 2 years go by. Next thing you know, he's 50 years of age, and it hadn't rained. But guess what? That old man of God's still out there saying, the Lord said, everyone I've come by said, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Then it comes sometime later, that same young boy's 50, 60 years old. Now he's got a child, and he takes his young'un down for the sight and the entertainment. And as he stands there, here it is 50 years later, his message is still the same. 45 years later, at this camp meeting, the message ought to still be the same. It hadn't changed. Well, just preach it right, amen. It hadn't changed. And listen to me. And there it is. This now, here's this boy. He grabs his daddy by the coattail and said, oh, Daddy, what that man said bothered me. And then Daddy takes him back 50 years. Said, oh, son, 50 years ago, my daddy brought me here. I know what you're going through, but don't let it bother you as long as it bothered me. It bothered me for several years. I dreamed about it, but I finally got over it. Son, don't worry about it. That went on for 120 years. No doubt that last time when old Noah walked up that plank, tears coming down his face. I'm just telling you, the Lord said. The Lord said. God is so merciful and gracious and long-suffering that even for another whole week, the door's left open. No doubt that gave them more opportunity to mock and scoff and laugh. They maybe sit and watch them for a little while, some maybe a day or two. No doubt they said they're nuts, they're crazy. And they started down the trail. But when it got away from that place, all of a sudden, trickle, trickle, and up from the ground. If you could go to hell tonight, that crowd had drowned. They're saying, let us in, Noah. Let us in, my friend. Hey, we've got another generation on our hand. Just like in Noah's days. The Bible said that. That'd be like in Noah's days. They're marrying. They're drinking, eating, giving in marriage. Hey, it's nothing wrong with eating. Nothing wrong with drinking. Nothing wrong with marrying if you're marrying the Lord. But listen, what he was talking about, they left God out of the economy. We've got a crowd today just like Lot's day. They're brazenly and boldly commit their sin in your face. Huh? But the fire fell. If you could visit that crowd in hell tonight, and guess what? Lot had some children. Oh. I'll tell you one thing. If there's anybody I'd go to hell for, it'd be my two daughters, brother. Before I'd want to stand and see my girls cast into hell, and I know I can't. But if I could, brother, I'd go to hell for my children. They both profess Christ, only they knowing God. No, but I'm just telling you, listen to me, Lot took his children down there. He wasn't looking for a place to raise children, my friend. He's looking for a place to raise cattle and gain money. But listen, when he walked outside of this city under judgment, his son-in-laws laughed at him. We've got people today that's looking at our Christianity, and they laugh at us because they've not seen God in your life. Oh, we're not doing too good. We do not well. We're hiding it. We're hiding it. The world's perishing. We have a camp meeting. We get our goods. We get our wagons loaded up and we take it to the house. We lock ourselves in. We're not doing too good. He said, if we tarry mischief, listen, we're so dead and unconcerned about lost soul. And there's a sight. Look in verse number 10. So they came. And they came and they called into the port of the city. And they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians. And behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied and the tents. Now go down to verse number 16. And the people went out. 4 poor leprous boys had got so cleaned up, so changed and so excited about what they had found that they had to tell the whole city about it. And they came. Hey, don't you believe if some of us would get that enthused and that excited about what God's done for us, it may happen that somebody might come. Some of you, they used to see you back out on Sunday morning. They saw you back out on Sunday night. They saw you back out on Wednesday night. And they've been watching. But all of a sudden, they saw you stop going on Wednesday. Then they're saying, wondering what's going on over there now. Wondering what's happening. Wondering what's going on in their house at their church. Next thing you know, you ain't going on Sunday night. Huh? Some of that same crowd you used to witness to. They've been watching. They've been watching. Let me tell you something. Whole folks today want to see a sermon, my friend. They've heard a whole lot of them. I'm telling you one thing. For every time we need to have some walk behind our talk, it's today. Hey, you know, even in a world that the majority has never read a Bible, somehow or another, they have a concept of what a Christian ought to be. They're not doing too well. They're perishing. They're perishing. Now, I'd say this, and I've got to hurry up and quit. Listen to me. In verse number 2, that was a promise. He said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. That's an unbeliever. Look down in verse number 20. Verse number 20, if you will. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Let me give you this, and I'm going to quit. Here's a sinner that was an unbeliever, and he was trampled. This is a judgment upon a scorner. Let me say this. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for it is your life is even a vapor that appeared for a little time, then vanisheth away. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Are you listening to me? It's but a vapor. It's a life to live, but there's a death to die. And as it is, I don't care what anybody tells you, and as it is, this way it is. And as it is, it's appointed unto men once to die. You're going to die. And I'd say it wouldn't be so bad. And I'll be honest with you. I wish that when people died lost, I wish they would be annihilated. I wish they would, Brother Jack. That's not what the Bible teaches, though. But after this, the judgment. The Bible said in hell, they lift their eyes up in torments. They weep. They wail, then gnash your teeth. I never had really thought about this till I was preaching a while back one morning. And it kind of burdened my heart about what I'm about to say. I don't know how it's going to be, but I believe the Bible said going to bind their hands and feet. Now, does that mean they're going to be bound in front of them? Are their hands going to be bound behind them? Or will their hands and feet be bound together? I don't know. But he said they'll bind them hand and foot and cast in outer darkness. Weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. Could you read in Revelation when those scorpion-like creatures come out and they bite men in the great tribulation and they wish to die and they can't die? Can you imagine I don't even like a fly on my face. I don't like a mosquito on me. But can you imagine your hands and your feet bound and you're being bound and you're being bitten, gnashing of teeth and screaming out of your mind and out of darkness. They weep, they wail, no rest, no peace. we do not wail, they're dying, they're perishing. We box it up, we hide it, We're not doing too well. When we lay down, who do we let down? While they were, oh God, listen to me. While they were feasting, there's another mother back there who just boiled her baby. That's some little girl waiting on you. That's some little girl waiting on you that's about to take a baby out of her womb. If we'd get up, you make it reach her. That's some boys. They're waiting on you men. Our jobs. If you could take your wealth, all that stuff you've gathered and you've hid, if you could gather every bit of it and put it on one side of the scale and put one soul on the other side. One soul is worth more than everything you're hiding, you're canning, and you're keeping. We do not wail. Let me ask you first of all tonight, as a sinner here tonight, why will you sit there and die? Why will you sit and rot on the vine? The devil will destroy you and put you in hell. Why don't you get saved tonight? We do not well to sit there and just trifle with God and play around with your soul. We've got folks in this, no doubt in this tabernacle, you're cold on God. Listen, hey, I wish to God, I wish on my account that I could preach this week and we'd shout the house of life. But God, I'm doing my best to mind the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, listen, there's some folks in this tabernacle that's cold on God, you're indifferent. You're backslid on God. It's time to get right with God. We're not doing too well. I'm done. Done my best to mind the Lord. And my best to mind the Lord. Father, I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us that we'd respond the way we're going to wish we had. That boy, that girl is here's lost tonight. They're not doing well. They know it. As some babies died today, in the United States of America, thousands. We're not doing well. Lord, help us. Oh God, we'll get our compassion, our love, our tears. The altar's been dry too long. Lord, I beg you. Do for us tonight what no little man can do. Oh God, help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we're not doing well, Lord. Oh, we do not well. They're perishing while we play. While we're entertained, they're going out in eternity. Oh, God, help us. Help us to get a burden this week. Oh, God, give us guidance and wisdom. Do you mind God tonight? Not a prayer.